Hello everyone, I'm John Noonan of Azure Marketing. Thanks for joining us today. I'm excited to have Corey Fowler, Program Manager of Microsoft Azure, and Robert Jacoby, President of Arc Technology Group, with us today to discuss open source integration with Microsoft Azure websites. Just to note, we'll be emailing all of you a copy of this webinar for your future reference, and if you have any questions along the way, feel free to submit those through the Q&A chat window on your left. And with that, I'll hand it over to Corey and Robert.
Thanks, John. Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today we're going to be presenting Azure Websites as a great open source success. Robert, how are you doing this morning?
Fantastic. Excited to talk about this.
Excellent. So just a quick agenda before we get started. We're going to do a quick introduction. We're going to talk about some of the things that Microsoft's been doing in the open source area. We're going to be talking about Azure Websites and open source, a little bit about Joomla, scaling WordPress on Azure Websites, and then hopefully near the end we'll have a few moments for the Q&A section. So, Robert, do you want to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Corey. I'm Robert Jacoby, President of Arc Technology Group. And I'll talk a little bit about ourselves on the next slide, but we're Joomla experts and Team Microsoft for open source.
Excellent. My name's Corey Fowler. I just changed roles. I used to be a technical evangelist at Microsoft. I am now a PM on the Azure Websites team. I've been working at Microsoft just under 3 years now. Just absolutely loving time here and being able to work with the open source community and understand, you know, how everyone in the open source world faces the exact same challenges as everyone else, and how we can go and provide a great platform for people that are building open source on open source technologies on Azure. Robert, how about you say a little bit about Arc Technologies?
Sure. Thanks, Corey. Arc Technology Group is a Joomla-focused open-source content management web application development company. We have over 15 years of custom application development, 15 years of content management experience from Fortune 50 to entrepreneurial-sized firms. We work closely with the Joomla community on events, speaking, custom extensions, things like that to help move Joomla through the enterprise, and as well as working with Microsoft.
Awesome. Sounds like you guys do a lot of great work. Some of the things that we do at Microsoft and how Microsoft contributes back to open source, we kind of classify this into six different areas. And the first area is cloud apps. And there's a number of different things that Microsoft has been doing over the years. One of the things that I really enjoy is event-based programming, and that's where Reactive Extensions really comes in. Reactive Extensions started initially as a .NET project, but recently became open source and is now being ported to a number of different languages. So I've noticed a Python port of it, and I think there's a Ruby port of it right now as well. Some of the other things we work on, Azure has a Redis cache service. So we've actually, MS OpenTech has created a port of Redis that works on Windows, and we're actually running Redis sitting in Azure as a service. So you can go out and create a brand new Redis service. It's in a master slave configuration, and all of that stuff is taking advantage of the great open source project that's out there. We've also done a number of different things with Eclipse, in terms of bringing Azure support for users on Eclipse, which is really significant because it allows people that are building Java or PHP applications or anything that you use Eclipse for to be able to take advantage of the power of Azure. In the data and BI space, we've been doing a lot of work with MongoDB and CouchDB to make sure that they work really well on Azure. With the Hadoop project, we've actually created a service called HD Insight that takes advantage of Apache Hadoop, actually the Hortons Works version of it, and has made it into a service. So You don't have to worry about going out and setting up Hadoop on your own. You can just spin up a brand new cluster and do your MapReduce workloads or any kind of workloads you want to do in Hadoop. In device applications, we've been working with the Apache Cordova project to be able to leverage cross-platform development on both Windows platforms and some things that work with other platforms as well. WinJS is actually a great open source project that's been created by the Internet Explorer team that's enabled great cross-platform controls built in both HTML and JavaScript to be able to provide a rich set of tools across different devices. In the DevOps space, which is one of my favorite spaces, we've been working with a number of different providers, so much so that we actually put Puppet in there twice. But we work with Chef, Puppet, Vagrant. One of the most recent things is Docker. We just added a new Docker image into our VM gallery, which is you can go set up an Ubuntu instance with Docker already set up and ready for your containers to be deployed to it. In the open web, we've been working on the HTTP2 working group. We've been working closely with WebRTC to figure where that's going as a technology to bring real-time communication to the web. And one of my favorite things, if you work with JavaScript, TypeScript's a great open source language that allows you to bring some of the things that you're familiar with in the object-oriented space, like interfaces and classes, to the JavaScript language. So if you want to check that out, you can go to typescriptlang.org. It just provides a great resource for actually building a very large-scale JavaScript project. And VM Depot. VM Depot is one of the things that enables a lot of community-based images on Azure in the virtual machine space. There's thousands of images available, and you're able to take these and use them as you will to run your workloads. There's a number of images there from Bitnami, so you can get a LAMP stack. There's pre-made Drupal or WordPress or Joomla instances there for you to take advantage of. You can also go and upload those yourself. So if you make a Linux-based version that you want, you can go and upload that to the VM Depot and allow other people to take advantage of that same technology. Some of the interesting stats around the momentum of open source on Azure, 20% of our workloads in the VM areas of Azure is actually Linux-based, which is a pretty significant amount if you think about it. Some of the other things is within those Linux stacks, SUSE, which is a distribution of Linux, there's over 1,000 instances of those. Our open source code sharing platform, CodePlex, has over 1 million users now, which is fairly substantial. And like I said earlier, Hadoop, we've actually gone and contributed back quite a bit to the project in order to support it as a full-fledged service in Azure. And Microsoft Web Matrix, which is a great tool, very lightweight tool for creating and extending open source projects. There's been over 1 million downloads to be able to help people out. Across the stack in Azure, there's a lot of great open source, and this is just kind of one of those eye charts that allow you to take a look at everything that we've been going and enabling from support from open source CMSs, languages support on Azure websites that we'll be getting into fairly soon. We enabled both PHP, Python, Node.js, and Java, which is a fairly comprehensive stack for any web developer. Across the world, we have many Azure data centers. There seems to be a few popping up every couple of weeks, which is pretty impressive. So we have a number of regions in the US, one in South America, two that just recently came on in Australia. So basically anywhere you want to go and run a workload, you have access to those resources. And you also have the ability to go out and use multiple regions with a traffic manager to be able to distribute your traffic across those different regions in a couple of different settings. To take a look at Azure all up, there's a number of different areas here. We have virtual machines, which allows people to deploy multiple workloads. Cloud services that enable the first PaaS platform on Azure. Azure websites, which is built on cloud services, enables another PaaS platform, which is probably the easiest way to get going on Azure. As well as mobile services that allow you to create mobile applications. And there's a great number of building block services that enable you to build out additional features on the platform as well. To talk specifically about Azure websites, Azure Websites is an enterprise-class cloud solution. It enables you to develop great web applications, test those applications, and there's lots of great DevOps features built into the platform as well. As I mentioned earlier, you can deploy many open source languages, including Node.js, PHP, Java, and Python onto the platform. And basically, it's fairly simple. You just go and deploy things out. With that, I'm going to jump into my first demo and kind of show you how you can go and enable your application in the cloud. So I'm here in the Azure portal, and you can see I have a new button here at the bottom, and it's fairly easy to go and create an Azure website. You just click on New, go down to Website, and hit Create. Don't know what happened there. Once you go and you create that site, I've actually gone and set one up here, which enables us to look at a number of different web pages that I have enabled in here. So we have a static HTML, classic ASP, ASP.NET in two different varieties, Node.js, PHP, and Python. And I've actually opened this up so you can see the code here. So this is the classic ASP code, language VB script. We have that classic response.write that everyone remembers. And here's the actual application in action. Just head back there. We'll look at the Hello World JS. So here's a simple Node application that's built out, and we can see that running right here as well. Here's our Hello PHP application, which is fairly easy to see. Our simple PHP, Hello World in PHP. And then our Python application here, which we can see at the end. I'm also going to go through how to set up another application later. So we'll be able to see the full experience. So the gallery enables a lot of different tools within Azure. And this is seen both in the VM space as well as the Azure website space. And let me just pop back into screen share here for a second. I'm just adjusting the screen size. And we'll be able to see the web application gallery in action. This enables different things like WordPress, Joomla, that we'll be talking about a little bit later. It seems I'm having problems displaying my screen here. There we go. So if I click on New, I can go to everything, and this is what pops up that gallery in the first place. And you can see, if I click on web here, all of the different options which are available for Azure websites. So we can see our scalable WordPress, WordPress plus MySQL, Drupal, Joomla, and some other sites like Node.js and PHP. And it's fairly simple to get going with one of these. We can just click on Joomla. We're going to come back to this later. But this basically gets you started and actually gets the application started and ready to go. So if we pop back into the slides here, that demo. So the benefits of using Azure here is it gets you up and running in seconds. We can quickly go through this gallery, set up our Joomla instance, and once we actually get that up and running, we're ready to start developing. We can download the code using FTP or Git, and we can go and quickly cycle and develop on this. The other benefit is scale. So we can actually go into our website, send it up to what we call a standard instance, and push that out onto multiple virtual machine instances. So that is what we would consider horizontal scaling. We also have the ability to vertically scale, which is either a small, medium, or large instance. It gives us a large number of options in terms of CPU power and memory utilization. And I have to say that one of the best benefits is you get to use the existing tool set that you're used to. Benefits to the open source community, I have Joomla community here because we were talking specifically about Joomla. Quick install, the same tools that you're used to today, so PHP, MySQL. We have MySQL, which is provided by ClearDB, which enables all of the MySQL backends for all of those gallery instances. And Microsoft actually supports all these packages. So we work with the communities to make sure that the latest packages are available for everyone at all times. Robert, how about you jump into the demo for Log4j?
Thanks, Corey. As Corey just said, regarding the benefit of Azure to the Joomla community, we have developed an extension that takes advantage of Azure storage. What we're going to do today is provide you a detailed demo of Log4j for Azure. Log4j is a free and open source Joomla extension developed by ARC Technology Group, which allows easy accessibility to your blob files within Joomla articles and modules, and it also has an easy-to-use connection interface to Azure storage as well as support for Azure websites environment variables. The primary benefit of Log4j is the immediate availability of Azure storage for your Joomla website. I'll walk you through sort of step-by-step what we have going on. We'll take a look at what we have here. One thing we're going to skip is the installation process. The best way to get the latest version of Log4j is to go to the Joomla Extensions website at extensions.joomla.org. And once you've installed Log4j, you can set up your storage credentials or reset them via the Log4j component in the credentials section. So here we have our Log4j, and we're already in here, and we're in the credentials section. Here you can define whether the endpoint is secured or not, as well as the account name and account key. One convenient feature is the ability to use the environmental variable flag. Using this feature, we do not have to worry about storing the connection strings locally, but we can take advantage of the app settings variables in Azure websites. This allows you to change the connection strings depending on your website where appropriate, as well as work from the same code base on separate stage and production environments without worrying about having the correct connection parameters. Let's jump over the storage containers right now. Storage containers here. Here we have two already created containers, as well as options for creating new containers, editing existing containers, or deleting containers as well. The containers are listed alphabetically by default. The list contains also access types, so whether you can search the whole directory, whether the containers are just blob, public, so only specific direct linked files are available, or completely private, which are just limited to the back end. For example, we use that for backups. And we'll jump into the ArcSight container. Here we can see a bunch of images we have, as well as some videos, some JavaScript files. Really easy to add additional files, so we'll do that here. So I'll go to the Upload button, and we'll choose a file. So choose an image file. Hit Save and Close. And we'll see that that file, JWC3.png, is updated, and we have an old image from the Joomla Ignite presentations at Joomla World Conference 2014. So we got that in there. That's great. And now let's take a look at how we would add that into an article or a module. So we can click on Content Article Manager, Add New Article, where we have a typical article view. And when you scroll down a little, we can see that we can either add other article links, images, page breaks, as well as Azure Blob Storage. So from here, we'll click the Azure Blobs button, and we can see that we have all the content in our container available. So we can click on JWC3 and insert that, and we can see we have our JWC3 image available to us. So to restate, to add your blob content, all you need to do is click on the Azure Blob button, select the container, choose the file, click Insert. After the file is inserted, we can edit it like we would any other file. So this is an image file. So we can add, alternate text. We can change dimensions, manage it just like we would any other image within our media manager. We can also do the same things with modules, since they're using the same editor components that we have available. Click on Extensions, Module Manager. Click on New. We'll create a custom HTML extension, which utilizes the same editor. Again, because LoftJ is a system-wide plugin that's accessible from all editor screens, again, select within the article. You can click the Azure Blobs button. Wait for the blobs to load up. And here we can choose all sorts of options. We'll choose the SAD Drupal button. Drupal is forked. And, really at the end of the day, that's how easy it is to connect Joomla with Azure Storage. In summary, the, real prime benefits of LoftJ for Azure are ease of use, flexibility for managing media, and scaling with Azure Storage. Now let's go back to Corey and let's see how scaling Joomla works on Azure websites.
Awesome. Thanks, Robert. I really like the fact that this both works with Blob and CDN. It's really nice to be able to take advantage of the CDN and make sure that our customers are getting the quickest possible access to those images. So thank you very much for your work on that.
Thanks, Corey.
So the one thing I wanted to talk about is scalable WordPress. And this is something that we actually have a great gallery tool for, and there's a number of different components here that enable us to create a scalable WordPress instance as well. So let's just jump into screen sharing, and we'll see this full demo in action. There we go. Just like we had the ability before, we just go and click on New. And I'm going to click on everything and go into that gallery that we saw. And just click on web. And within web here, you can actually see scalable WordPress as a full instance. There we go. So we can go here, look at our WordPress instance. It's actually published by WordPress, which is awesome. And we're going to click on Create. So what this enables us to do is it's going to create first a resource group. And this is a grouping of similar pieces of functionality for an application. So you can see here we have a couple of different options here. We have our website. We have our database and a storage account. So I'm just going to click into website, and this enables us to create a hosting plan. So let's take a look at a couple of these options here. As we mentioned before, we have the ability to do standard, which provides you with your own VM, and you can do up to 10 instances of that VM. And the cool thing about standard is you can actually enable autoscale of your virtual machine. So you could base that autoscale on a number of different metrics, be it a CPU meter, memory meter, or incoming requests. And that also enables us to use the traffic manager. If we go into the other tiers here, we can actually use basic, which provides us with a number of different options as well. It's not enabled for scalable WordPress because we do need to use the traffic manager. We'll probably want a custom domain. But you could also get all the way down here. If you just wanted to go and start out with a regular instance, you could actually get going with a free tier, which enables you to go and use the platform without any cost, which is pretty exciting. So I'm just going to select the standard tier one, and we'll go ahead there. Web app settings. Here we can actually choose a storage container name, and this is where our data is going to get stored within our storage account once we have that configured. So you can see it says WP Media. I'm okay with that name, so I'm just going to hit OK. And then we can choose a region that we want this to get deployed in. So we saw that map earlier of all the different regions around the world. You can see here that we have North Central US. I'm going to go with West US. But I just wanted to drag this list down and see that you actually have the ability to deploy in any one of those regions, which is pretty exciting. So like I said, I'm going to go with West US. And the last thing I need to do after I have all these things configured is I need to go in and select a name for my site. So I'm just going to call this Scale WordPress. Not too sure why it's not on this. There we go. I guess I'm going to put this one in East US. Now that I have my WordPress website instance ready to go, I can go and configure a new database, which I can use an existing database or create a new database. And this is going to create a large database instance for me, which already has a good amount of memory here. So we have 5 gigs of storage, great SLA, and some high I/O to ensure that our website instance has the connectivity that it needs at all times. To make sure that the performance between my website and my database is great, I also want to make sure that this is in the same region. And I'm going to just name my database Scale WordPress as well. And because the MySQL instances are provided by ClearDB, we just want to go through and accept these license terms after we've read the agreement. All right, so now my website's ready to go. My database is ready to go. I just have to do my storage account. And you can see here I can create a brand new storage account. Once again, we'll go with Scale WordPress as the name. And we can choose from a different set of pricing tiers, which basically select what kind of redundancy we have. So here I'm going to select the geo-redundant replica. But we could also do local redundant replica or regional or read access. So we could actually get read access to our replica if, say, the primary node was to go down, which is actually pretty cool. I'm just going to go with the geo-distributed replica here. And once I click OK, everything's all ready to go. And I can choose from a different subscription if I'd like to. So if you have multiple accounts with Azure, you can select which one it goes into. I'm just going to use my US Azure account here, and we can click Create. Now this is going to go and take a couple of seconds. So I already have a pre-baked demo with this ready to go. And I'm just going to click in here. And there's lots of great tools within the Azure portal. And speaking about great open source success, there's actually a number of different open source projects leveraged to create this portal experience, including Knockout, D3JS for all the different graphical pieces. So you can see here that we have our full-scale group, the resource group, and that contains our website, our storage, and our database. So if we click into our, this is my website, you can see there's some great monitoring tools here. And the cool thing about this is we can actually right-click and pin them to our starboard. So if we wanted to create a great DevOps experience, we could click in, put this into our startboard. So as soon as we log into the portal, we have great access to all the information that we need from our WordPress site. We can also set up analytics from Azure websites as well. Here's the scale tab I wanted to show you. And this is where we can go and set up performance-based scaling. So you can see we already have auto scale set up. It's in an instance range of 1 to 2. We could increase that all the way up to our 10. If we have a lot of resources, what we might want to do is make sure that we're always guaranteed to have a couple of servers at hand for us. So we can just click in here, and we'll say that the minimum instance range starts at 4, and this will enable us to run at least 4 instances of our site at the bare minimum, and then if the CPU percentage actually gets within the target range, then it will start scaling up from there. So that's pretty cool. There's also a lot of other great things that we can do with our website, including this console, which gives you access to everything that's on disk. So if we were to do a listing of our site, we could actually see here's our full WordPress instance sitting within there. And there's some great tools available within here as well, including Git or curl. So if you did want to go and leverage some of these tools to go and either download something onto the box, or if you wanted to go and Git push your code off to GitHub or something along those lines, you have the ability to do so. So with that, I'm just going to jump back here into the slides. So if we start with Azure websites in a tier, either the shared tier or the basic tier, we have manual scaling. And manual scale allows us to just jump into the portal, much like we just saw in the experience, but scale up on a manual rate. So we actually have to physically go into the portal and click through. But I also just showed off the auto scaling, and auto scaling is done with specific meters. And the cool thing about auto scale is it does react to change as it happens. So you can see here, we come in, we have a good amount of traffic coming to our site. We decide that it needs more instances, and we start to spin up other resources. We start to get even more traffic to our site, and it's like, oh no, what's going to happen? And then we can go and spin up to those full 10 instances. But scaling doesn't just happen in a horizontal or vertical fashion. We also do need to think about scaling geographically. And this is because we have many different markets that we might actually have to go and deliver our applications to. So this is where Traffic Manager comes in. And Traffic Manager is a tool that enables us to select multiple regions around the world and kind of pool them together behind one single domain name. And what this allows us to do is route the DNS traffic based on performance, which would be, say, a ping time between the user and the different instances that we have spread across the world, or a failover configuration. So we can elect one of our nodes as a primary, and if that node were to go down, it would elect a new primary from our secondary resources. So some of the commitments that Microsoft has made to the open source space, specifically within websites, we keep the gallery up to date with the latest packages. So if you're a Joomla developer, a Drupal developer, or say a WordPress developer, we're going to make sure that we stay on top and make sure that you have the latest and greatest versions of those platforms, so you're not constantly updating as soon as you go in and create a brand new instance. We're also evaluating extension points to open source projects. Like you saw Robert go and demonstrate LoftJ for Azure. It's a great tool to be able to go in and leverage Joomla to take advantage of Azure Storage and the Azure CDN. We're looking at other projects along these lines that might make it easier for the open source community to actually interact with the tools that they're used to, the CMSs they're used to, with all of the different services within Azure. So that kind of leaves a question, and that question is, what would you like to see Microsoft do for the open, or next for the open source community? And I encourage you to go to that link at the bottom there. That actually goes off to a user voice form where you can actually go and provide feedback to the website team to say, you know, it would be really great if we could provide a way to go and enable X into, you know, this CMS choice. So really want to thank you all for coming today. We have a few minutes for questions here, so we'll hand it over to Q&A. And you can ask questions of me or Robert, or we have some other experts on the line as well, depending on what you have.
Thanks, Corey. So I think we've been able to answer most of the questions that have come in during the presentation via chat, but we'll just take a couple minutes here and see if any new questions come in. So it looks like we've got one new question that came in here. Can LoftJ be used on systems not on Azure? So I don't know if that might be a good question for you, Robert.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, LoftJ can be installed on your standard Linux install or any Microsoft install. What it's really doing is just talking to Azure Blob Storage. So as long as you have an Azure Blob Storage account, you can connect to it from whatever type of Joomla install you have. It's much easier to take advantage of the environmental variables if you're on Azure websites, because that would be the requirement. But outside of that, you can connect directly with the account key and the password credentials from within LoftJ.
Great, thank you. Next question here from Alex. What are the source control options for deploying to Azure websites?
I guess I'll handle that one. The cool thing about Azure websites is there's multiple different ways to go and deploy. So one of the things that I showed off is a gallery, but I guess the question really here is, how can I go and deploy my source code out there? And to answer that, you know, it's another great open source story is we actually support Git right on the box, as I showed in the console. that opens up a couple of different stories there as well. So we have support for GitHub. Obviously, we have support for Visual Studio Online. There's Bitbucket support. So if you're using Git against Bitbucket, you can tie that directly into your website as well. If anyone was to use Mercurial, we have support for Mercurial directly into Azure Websites. And one of the ones that people don't really know about is we have Dropbox support. So if you wanted to create a, I'm not saying that it's really a source control system, but if you wanted to create a folder or application in Dropbox, you can synchronize that between Dropbox and Azure Websites.
Okay, thanks, Corey. So we'll just give folks out in the audience another minute or so to submit any last questions.
So it looks like we have another question here. Can you deploy your own SSL cert under the free configuration? Joseph, there's a number of different configurations there. And the reason being the different pricing tiers is the amount of functionality that you get with the site. So unfortunately, you can't add SSL certificates in the free configuration. But once you get to the basic configuration and the standard configuration, you can go and add SSL certificates.
Great. Thanks, Corey. So it looks like that's just about it for Q&A. I just want to thank everyone out in the audience for tuning in. And a big thanks again, Corey and Robert, for leading today's session. I hope you all have a good rest of your day and hope to see you on future Azure webinars.